Now, last week we were talking about John's vision of that new heaven and new earth from Revelation chapter 21 and how wonderful that glorious time will be. But we also realize that we're not there yet, that we're still living in that tween time, that Lord's Prayer kind of time. You know, that time in between, give us this day our daily bread and thy kingdom come. But it is a great time to live, because God has given us the opportunity to participate in that new creation that he's bringing forth. Which brings us to the scripture lesson for today from the book of Acts. Now here, Peter is given a vision, just like John was in Revelation, a glimpse, a peek, a hint of what this new heaven and new earth might look like. Now last week, John told us that death and tears and pain and suffering, all of those things would be no more. But his vision, if you notice, was a little sketchy on details. Now here in Acts, the vision that God gives to Peter is more detailed. Here in Acts, it all begins. That long and difficult road from our life today to that glorious day of those new heavens and new earths, a new vision to lead God's people in a bold new direction. And that's a vision that we could all use. Now, last week we talked about perspective, and a new perspective always brings with it new vision. And a new vision always brings with it fear and discomfort. Fear and discomfort because we're traveling to places we've never lived before. Now, the famous Methodist preacher, all right, I don't know Methodist preachers, but I read that he was famous. Famous Methodist preacher Halford Lookock once published a book of sermons called Marching Off the Map. The title comes from a sermon of his in which he referenced a story from the life of Alexander the Great. Now, after Alexander's amazing victories that opened the way for his army to travel from Greece to Turkey, through Persia, all the way to Afghanistan. Yes, at that time, in Alexander's time, a couple of hundred years BC, he traveled all the way to Afghanistan, almost to India. His generals came to him one day and informed him, "We don't know what to do next. We have marched off the map." This, says Lookock, was the critical moment of decision. But it doesn't happen just to world conquerors. Frequently in life, bold and adventuresome people come across exactly that same situation where there's no precedent to guide them, where they've marched off the map. Those off the map times in our lives are times we're faced with two choices. We can turn around and return to the security of what we already know, or we can forge ahead and march right off the map. We can keep to business as usual or find us a new line of work. Anyone ever have an off-the-map time in your life? Now, the Hunt Lennox globe, made in 1550, is one of the oldest globes, an actual globe, not a map, in existence. And its claim to fame is that it's the only ancient map that includes the Latin words, I don't know how to pronounce Latin, but I'll give you the English translation. Here be dragons. Now on the map, this globe, those words appear near about where Southeast Asia is. Here be dragons. And that's the problem when we go off the map. For all we know, there might be dragons waiting for us. And we could get, what? Fried to a crisp. That's one thing dragons do. Or we could be eaten alive. But then again, you just might be needing a dragon or two to shake things up. And they might prove to be friendly, too. Sometimes, whether we like it or not, life has a way of forcing us off the map and making us travel roads that are unfamiliar to us. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that one bit at all. You want to talk about a creature of habit. It don't get more creature of habit than me. Trust me, I have everything on a schedule in my life. Do you remember those trip ticks from AAA in the good old days? I don't know, do they still do that? That's kind of hard to believe with GPS and all. We always use them when we travel. You got your paper maps, those totally folded up ones, and written out, yes, nothing on the computer, step-by-step directions. It was a great way to feel secure on the road. And we always had those Rand McNally atlases in our cars of the entire United States. Anyone have those? I don't know. I think we've gotten rid of ours now, just in case. Then there were those map programs on the internet that would calculate routes for you. I used to do that. Then GPS devices like Garmin that you would carry with you. Now it's either on your cell phone, right, or built right into your car. Impossible to get lost. Well, almost impossible. Now here in the book of Acts, it's kind of like a triptych for early Christianity. Now my New Testament professor back in seminary said, when you are reading the book of Acts, it is helpful to have a map nearby when you're reading it, just to keep track of where all of the apostles are going. And I still do that. I have on my cell phone a map of that region of the world that I can follow where all these different name places are. Now, this week's text, it isn't exactly a geographical travel narrative, although Peter does travel back to Caesarea and Jerusalem. It's kind of a spiritual triptych, outlining the direction and the place that God was taking the early church. Now, when Peter goes to Joppa just before and eats with the Gentile Roman centurion Cornelius, the other apostles and believers, as Acts puts it, think he's gone crazy and marched completely off the map to where those dragons are lying in wait for him, and it will only lead to trouble. You start messing with Gentiles today and hanging around with them, and who knows what that will lead to. Anyone get that story from your mother or father when you were little? And their criticism directed at Peter for presuming to eat and drink and socialize with people not like them, it sounds like the criticism, Linda, like you said, levied at Jesus for eating and drinking with those prostitutes and tax collectors. But you see, where the apostles and the other believers only saw the small picture, which showed the route that they perceived to be the only way, which included the law, Peter explains to them that the new road God was building to include the Gentiles in the church was a different road. The context that God shows Peter came in the form of a threefold dream. And as Anne was reading it, I hope you were kind of following along. There's a large sheet lowered from heaven, and on that sheet, it's full of animals that he and his fellow Jews would consider to be unclean. Now, you've been doing through the Bible in a year. You know you're unclean and you're clean animals. God's command to Peter was essentially to march off the map that he and his people had followed for thousands of years by eating only kosher foods that were permitted by the law of Moses. God says, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And he invites Peter to eat food that was only suitable for Gentiles. God was carving out a new route that would bring Jew and Gentile together. And God says, what God has made, you must not call profane or unclean. And because Peter accepts God's invitation, he marches right there off that map and begins to see how God's plans for the whole world is unfolding, kind of like, you know, those old school huge paper maps? They just open and open. They open this way, then they open this way, and then you can never close them back up again. There's always one piece that doesn't quite go back in right. For some of us, it's easy to think that there's only one path and one way and not see or miss the bigger picture, the bigger context of God's mission in the world. Sometimes we get too stuck in our old ways, and instead of praying for the Spirit's guidance as we read Scripture and worship, we just keep looking for the same things and the same ways and the same answers without changing our perspective. And how we hear God speak to us in Scripture is all about perspective. I hope you're also coming to that realization in Through the Bible in a year, that it's all about perspective. But here's the danger of reading Scripture. It always brings with it the possibility that God will call us to change our direction. Anyone getting that feeling as you're going through this year of reading Scripture? That God is beginning to open up to you new things and new ways, giving you new eyes or new ears? God invited Peter to unfold that bigger map that revealed to him a whole new world of possibilities for people of all kinds, united around God's grace and God's redemptive mission in the world. What is the current path that you or that we in this church are on? Does our GPS screen show us a big enough area, or is it keeping us from seeing God's picture? Who are the people who others consider to be off the map? That's a fancy way of saying beyond God's grace. And how will you, like Peter, listen to the Spirit's direction and march off the map to reach those whom the rest of the world have passed by? And back on March 31st, our youth led our worship service, and you got to hear from our 5 graduating seniors about their life in this church. And I believe all of them pretty much grew up in this church, did they not? You heard about their faith. You heard their perspective of how God is working in their world. Now, I don't know about you, but my big take home from that Sunday is this. Those who are coming after us as leaders and worshipers in this church are not like us. Not like us at all. They worship differently. They think differently. They act differently. They bring new and unique gifts to our congregation. Now, last week we talked about how God is inviting us to minister and mission to our brothers and sisters in our community and this local neighborhood. And it's the work that God has called us to and given us the gifts and the resources that we need to do that work, and we do that work well. But there's a caveat, a warning to that mission and ministry. If we welcome and if we invite, if we open our doors and our hearts, they just might come and walk in those doors back there and bring new things, just as our youth do. This neighborhood, this community, this world is not the place it was. And we're right there on the edge of the map of what we know. And who knows, maybe there are dragons laying on the other side. But then again, maybe not. Maybe what lies right there off the edge of that map wonderful and exciting opportunities to meet and welcome and minister with people who are not like us at all. Can you handle that? Then I heard a voice tell me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice from heaven spoke a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Are our doors open? Really? Is the welcome mat out? Truly? Because you never know who might show up. Amen.